It's Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Genomic researchers at Children's Hospital and the Medical College of Wisconsin made news in 2010 when they successfully used genome sequencing to diagnose and treat a child with a rare medical condition. In the 3 years since, genome research hasn't slowed down. A study by another Milwaukee researcher has identified genes related to a complex speech disorder affecting children. But her work has broader implications that could lead to greater understanding of many more issues involving the human genome. Dr. Liz Worthy is an assistant professor of pediatrics at the Medical College and director of genomic informatics for the Genome Medicine Clinic at Children's Hospital of Wisconsin and at the Medical College. She is with us now in the studio to tell us more about it. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for inviting me along.
I want to start with this most recent study linked to childhood apraxia. This is a complex issue for the young patients who have it. What was it that you set out to determine, and what did you find?
So we really wanted to see, there's been a lot of movement into genomic medicine in a variety of areas, most of them related to diseases that are believed to be Mendelian in nature, meaning that there is a single gene defect that's controlled them. And what we wanted to do, or my particular interest, was something a little bit more complex. So moving more into complex genetics where multiple genes are believed to be having an effect. And we wanted to see whether we could really take this technology that's been used in a fairly small number of different types of diseases and push it into something a little bit new and different.
Well, and so apraxia was one of these conditions that was initially believed to be linked to a single mutation?
It was originally, but then people who worked in the field believed it was more heterogeneous, so that there was what they had done is they found an initial gene that was associated with it, and then they started checking people with apraxia, and they found that a very small percentage of individuals had a defect in that gene, and so the belief was that there was other genes that were being involved, and there was also a question about whether it was a single gene or not.
And so the research bore this out?
It did. So what we did, we ended up doing whole exome sequencing of a number of children, we being myself and Larry Schreiberg, and he's really the expert in apraxia.
And remind us the difference. What's the significance of the concept of an exome?
So with exome sequencing, you're sequencing about 1.2% of the whole genome, and you're focused on the part of the genome that is encodes for proteins. So it's a far cheaper approach. It costs maybe a third of the price. But you get less data, but you do get most of the pieces that are currently known to be associated with disease. And so it was actually ARRA funding that Larry had got to do this sequencing. And the amount of funding that he got meant that we did exome and not whole genome. We did it in 10 patients, and we found that a number of different genes that were involved, some which had been previously related to the disease, but also some novel ones. And perhaps most interestingly, we found that in some of the patients, they had defects in more than one gene. The defects were perhaps milder than those which cause some other monogenic diseases, but it was kind of an accumulation of smaller changes that gave rise to the disease.
On one level, it sounds like a positive development that we know more. But does the more complex cause mean that finding treatments is necessarily going to be that much more challenging because you are dealing with more than one gene here?
Not necessarily. So a treatment is normally not for a specific gene. A treatment is normally for a particular pathway within a cell, so the interacting set of genes. And so what we actually found is a number of those genes were part of the same pathway. And it's the pathway going wrong that you treat with the drug. And in actual fact, above and beyond that, finding more genes increases our knowledge about how broad and diverse that pathway is. And it may even get us into other pathways that already have drugs for them that can be then used in these cases potentially.
Well, and so using apraxia as an example, is this knowledge that you have gained through this likely to have a fairly fast impact on how someone at the treatment level might work to help a patient?
So there's two parts to that. So in terms of the development of a drug, I don't think it will be particularly fast. And the reason I don't is because we're talking about neurons and fine small changes, and having a drug that you could use to make that alteration without affecting another part of that network would be fairly difficult. But hopeful in down the road. Surely, if we don't understand it at all, we're not going to get a treatment. But if we do understand it a little now, then we can start working towards that. But the other part of it is really been able to work out that these children early on have this type of speech problem and not some other type, so something more to do with the muscles. And with the correct diagnosis, then they can go down the correct care plan path. So I think that's very important.
So this is as much about ruling out other causes as it is about figuring out what to do about this particular cause.
Absolutely.
For people who aren't genome scientists, and there may be one or two of them listening, is the rapid pace of development at this stage related more to more powerful computing abilities or better software programming or some other technological leap or all of the above?
Both on the sequencing side and on the computational side. The real change that happened over the last few years has been the sequencing technology. But if we had only had that and not the rapid development on the computational side, we wouldn't have been able to do anything with the data. And now we're at a point where, to some extent, the sequencing is easy and it's all computational. All of the challenges are computational.
I feel like I've used this metaphor in a previous interview with someone, originally I think there was the issue of, you know, essentially drinking from the fire hose. There was so much data, and so do I get from what you're saying that it no longer is drinking from the fire hose?
So I think, to use that same analogy, we now have a filter that we can put on the fire hose to get the data out of it that we can use just now to make diagnosis and understand what's going on. However, at the same time, the rest of the data that's still in the fire hose is data that we need if we are to be able to treat everyone who has any type of disease. So we need to work out how to open it back up a little bit so that we can use that data.
Well, and talk more about that other data, because you were saying that, you know, one of the beauties of exome sequencing is that you're looking at, you know, just over 1% of the whole genome, and it's protein related, and this is where most of the disease information is. What's in the rest of the genome?
All the rest of the interesting stuff. So for me, I'm a genome person. I think the genome is the way to go. The reason that most of the variants that have been associated with disease are in the exome is because that's the only place we've looked so far. We tended to be very gene-centric. But clearly, there's lots of missing heredity in all of these disorders that have a genetic component, and it's going to be in the part that's not in the exome. Things that used to be called junk a long time ago then turned out to be what caused Fragile X syndrome and many of these other disorders. So for me, we have to do whole genome so we can learn.
Are there things that we don't even know that we don't know yet?
Always. I think that's why we do what we do. So really, we're entering a phase now with genomics where we're starting to come back to hypothesis-driven research using genomic data. So we're starting to realize some of the things that we don't know that we want to do, and we're starting to ask those questions. But now, because we've got data, we can come back and answer those questions and come up with the next questions.
How long have you been in this field?
15 years.
Well, what is your feeling about how much of the promise of genome research is being realized today, especially compared to where it was when you were getting into the field? It seems like 15 years is almost a lifetime in this area.
So when I started my PhD was really when genomics data was starting to be made available. And it took me 3 years to do what would take me a week or less now. I think we now have 50 or 60 new causal associations with disease coming every month, which is completely different from even where it was back in 2005, where we had 80 a year. So we're right at that inflection point. We now have the ability to have enough data. We've got the computational hardware to analyze it. All of that background over the last 10 years, it's right now. Right now is when we take off, and we already are starting to take off.
But the people who are in this for the devising treatments really have their work cut out for them with this much more information to deal with.
Well, that's going to be the next challenge. We're already seeing a furore of papers coming out around functional studies around what we find in individuals' genomes associated with their disease. Pharma are starting to be really interested in this for a variety of reasons. So it's the application of the knowledge. Applied science used to be a dirty word. We were all meant to do theoretical, but now the application is what we all need to work on.
Liz Worthy, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Dr. Liz Worthy is Director of Genome Informatics for the Genome Medicine Clinic at Children's Hospital of Wisconsin and the Medical College of Wisconsin. She's also Assistant Professor of Pediatrics at the Medical College. Her findings on genetic defects in childhood apraxia were published recently in the Journal of Neurodevelopmental Disorders. Portion sizes are shrinking at some Milwaukee-area restaurants. Why, some see that as a good thing in general. When Lake Effect continues on WUWM.